Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. Happy New Year. This is the first show for 2018. Glad to have you back on our listening audience for another year. Today we've got a first-time guest, Joey Peralta, with a message that I think you'll find encouraging. So stay tuned and hope you enjoy the show. I want to welcome Joey Peralta to the A Minute to Midnight show. We haven't had you on before. Joey, it's really great to be chatting to you today.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here.
Excellent. So I thought I'd just open up with a prayer and then we'll get into it.
Wonderful.
Lord, we just give you this show and pray that there would be a great blessing bestowed upon it, that you give us the right avenues of direction, that you would protect the connection, and that you would bless those that listen and give Joey the right words to say in this show. And I thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and know that you hear our prayers, and we anticipate a great interview today. Amen.
So be it. Amen.
Okay, so Joey, can you give our listeners a bit of a background into you and your life and why you're on the show today?
Yes, I was born in Canada, and I was adopted when I was 2 years old. I was in foster care for a while, and I was very fortunate to be raised by a wonderful family. And then my parents moved down to California, and so I grew up in San Francisco. My dad's side of the family was there. He wanted to be closer to his family and all of us to be, you know, spend more time together. And that's it in a nutshell. And, you know, I grew up and, you know, grade school, middle school, high school. Yeah. And that's pretty much it on that part.
So you actually contacted us and said, you know, you've got a message that you believe needs to be delivered on the A Minute to Midnight show. So you spoke to both Brooke and Joni and they said, yes, they thought your message was really important to get out there. So maybe, you can tell us what it is. What was the reason why you contacted us and felt there's such an important message that needs to be gotten out today?
Absolutely. Yes. in 2009, I had, an encounter with Lord Christ. I was homeless at that time. And I was struggling, you know, I was right at the point of the economic recession. And in 2014 and 2016, Lord Christ would show me more and would tell me to tell what he wanted to be told. So altogether, it would be three messages. And it's very important because so many people that I've seen in churches and in my search for God for 14 years, I've seen that many people really don't know that he's real, or they feel that he's just a religion to follow and that he's not a person.
So let's back up a little bit then. You say you were homeless. How did you end up becoming homeless, and how did this whole process begin that, you know, you are where you are at today? Because I assume you weren't always a Christian. And, you know, so maybe you can give us a little bit of a background there.
That's right. Yes. The best place to start is in high school. Okay. You know, and most of us in high school, you know, we're trying to, you know, find out where we fit, what crowd. But also what was happening to me was I looked at the world and I saw all these different beliefs and philosophies and religion. And I thought, they can't all be right. So yeah. I'm thinking, I am going to find the truth no matter what it costs, even if I die in the process. I put that decision in my head, in my heart. And so from 1996, I was a sophomore in high school, second year, and I just started. I would spend hours in the bookstore, in this used bookstore that was two blocks down from my house. I read everything from psychology to Eastern religion to Western to shamanism, spiritualism, psychic powers, metaphysics, and on and on. And I would just inhale the books. I would write down my questions, and I would ask ministers, pastors, monks, and that carried me on from 1996 to 2009 when I became homeless. I just kept searching all those years, but not really seeing or feeling anything. But during that time, I also became psychic, what the world sees as psychic, people with a gift. I did that for a couple years. So that showed me that, yes, there is an unseen world. There is a spirit world. So that I had proof on. I had evidence because I tried it out myself. I tried out the different meditations, etc. And so I knew it was true. And one of the proofs of that was I would walk into a house or an environment, and I can tell exactly what happened in detail, things that happened in that place in the past. I was not able to see the future. So I looked that up online. That's called retrocognition, kind of psychic power. And I was also I had an empathic ability too, to also feel. They call it the feeler gift, you know, when you can feel people's pain and et cetera. Now, to answer more your question, going into 2009, I moved after high school to Merced, California. That's near Modesto, Fresno. And I just kept on searching there, as I said before. And at that time, I was getting really, really good at what I was doing with my psychic gift. But one thing that always just kept on waking me up, kind of, you know, kind of tapping me on the shoulder, was I still didn't feel it was the truth, quote, quote, the main truth. It felt kind of right, but it was still bugging me. I said, no, it still doesn't feel right to me. I still have to look. So I would still go from church to church. And at that time I was reading the scriptures, and on that end, what I kept seeing in the churches was completely different from how I read Jesus Christ in the Bible. He always went out to people and they got healed and delivered. I was not seeing that in the churches. I would see it a little bit, but I was not really seeing what he was doing. And so, and in including myself, okay, I was not getting really free or delivered. You know, I was also going through that myself. So I'm thinking, why is this happening? You know, I'm praying, I'm doing everything that I can, I'm still, you know, crying out to God, but I'm still not getting healed or set free. Again, you know, going back to 2008, 2009, right when the economic recession hit, it completely destroyed that town because there were no factories, no industries. So I was one of the homeless people. I was dumpster diving and going in trash cans, you know, for recycling. You know, you weigh it out and they give you a voucher, a cash voucher. And I threw every penny into my account. And I was thinking, I'm going to get out of here. I would walk anywhere from 5 to 10 miles a day collecting. I would do odd jobs through people that I knew, yard work. I would make money that way. And I was doing volunteer work. I was doing all these things just to get out of that town. And in June of 2009 was when Jesus Christ himself, he appeared to me. I fell asleep behind this bush in this tree, one of my spots. You know, I'll talk about that later, you know, about survival on the street, but you know, you learn how to survive. Anyways, I woke up early in the morning and someone was in front of me. At first I thought it was a cop, you know, you know, to tell me to go. And I'm thinking, oh great, now he's gonna see my face. And now I'm like, now I have to rotate where I sleep. Yeah. And but no, it was him, and I knew it. You know, my brain fought it, but I knew without a doubt who it was. So that was the beginning.
So had you actually made any sort of a decision or commitment to Christianity, or were you still like in this place of searching for, you know, wherever the direction you were going to go and whatever religion?
The only thing that I had at that time were the scriptures I was reading about what Christ did, how he lived, what he talked about when you fast, when you pray, you go out to people, tell them about the kingdom. I had all those scriptures in my mind, and to me, it felt like truth, you know, but I wasn't seeing it and I wasn't feeling it. So when I would pray, when I would talk to Abba, when I would talk to Lord Christ, I was still crying out before he appeared. I was just so frustrated. You can imagine each year that would pass by, I wasn't seeing any proof. I wasn't seeing, you know, evidence. I wasn't, you know, and I was getting tired again, Tony. I was getting so exhausted in my heart and my mind. As much as I wanted to give up searching, I couldn't. I didn't want that. I had to find out if he was real or if he was fake, if God was real or if he was fake. And I remember crying out to him that night before I fell asleep underneath the stars, you know, under this bush next to this tree. I said, please, are you real or not? I have to know. I'm getting tired again. Those were one of my words. And I remember fasting at that time. I was still trying everything that I knew to do. And he answered me.
Okay, so he appeared to you at that point. Some people might say, oh, you're out on the street, you're hallucinating or whatever, you know, were you doing any drugs? All of these kind of questions, so maybe you want to address that now.
Absolutely. At that time, I already gotten rid of my vices. In high school, I used to party, yes, to answer everyone's question, okay? But at that time, I was not drinking, I was not smoking, I was not on drugs. But yes, in my past, I did do that. But when you're in the point of survival, you are pinching pennies. You're just learning how to have food in your stomach and looking for your next odd job. Okay, that's all that you're doing. Now that is a very good question, because I was talking to your co-host about this and it came up. Now, when he appeared, my brain was going off and I was thinking I was hallucinating, but my heart knew it was him,
yeah,
with no doubt. But my brain was thinking, am I hallucinating? Now, I actually tested that, you know, even if I knew who it was. So I thought, if I'm hallucinating, I'm going to move my head. And if that hallucination follows me, I'm hallucinating. And, you know, I actually did test it out, you know, so I knew for a fact, yeah, it was him.
Okay, that's actually a very good thing, good idea, you know, that you had the forethought to do that. So, okay, so he appeared to you. What was his reason for appearing and what happened then?
Yes, what started to happen was there was all this light and energy, what I can only describe as energy, coming from him. I remember seeing his robe, his beard, his feet, his right hand was in front of him. And of course, you know, you can imagine how I felt. I felt this in my body completely, in my mind, in my emotions, in my spirit. I felt it in every fiber of my being, and also on the ground below me and around me. And that was already telling me that was him, because I have never, ever, ever experienced anything so total when it comes to an energy. And even my body was reacting as if it couldn't take anymore. I remember it shaking a little bit because it's as if it couldn't take any more of the energy. Now, if I were to describe the energy, it felt like peace and happiness mixed together. That is the best way I can describe it. And it was just so much. And he was talking to me. You know how we're talking right now, you know, but it wasn't verbal. You know, it's as if our hearts were talking, but it was louder. It's very hard to describe what I'm trying to tell you right now, but I've heard this in other testimonies, and it's very true. It's like our hearts were talking, and it was so loud and so clear.
It seems to be a pretty common thing that I notice, that people saying that, you know, in these type of situations, that it wasn't verbal, and yet it was more real than if it had been verbal.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so what did he say?
Yes, he was talking about a lot of things, but mainly about his fire. I didn't really know exactly what he was talking about besides the Holy Spirit, you know, and fire. And but he was talking about his fire, and he just asked me one question. He asked me, "Do you want my fire?" Of course, I said yes.
Yeah.
You know, you can imagine all those years of searching for 14 years. Am I going to say no now? No. So, and that was the beginning. And I've actually asked time, you know, as the weeks and the months passed after that encounter, I asked him, Lord, bring back to my memory the other things that you talked about. So once again, it's as if I couldn't receive it all at that time. It's as if it was hidden from me. And I know that it's as if I couldn't absorb it all, but the question I was ready for. That's how I understand it. I say that because, you know, when we look back on our life in retrospect, we understand more of what God did. I'm speaking from experience. That's what happened. That's what it looked like.
Okay, so then what happened?
Yeah, so for the next 2 or 3 days, I will not, you know, forget it. I was extremely open spiritually, very sensitive. In other words, he was allowing me to see in the spirit that I've never experienced that before. He allowed me to see things that most people can't see, be in the presence of heavenly beings, angels, also the demons also.
So you were able to see both.
Yes, that's right. During that time, yes. And he was showing me that those things are real. Now, of course, to that time, the scriptures, I've only known the scriptures. So he was allowing me to see that a few times. And, you know, but the whole point was he was showing me that that is what's really going on behind the scenes. It's not what I thought at all. And so that was blowing me away already, opening up my mind to that world.
What kind of things were they doing, you know, the angels and the demons?
Yes. I was staying at a friend's house. He knew that I was homeless, but he would let me stay at his house for a couple of days at a time. And I was praying after this experience at his house, and he gave me a room by myself. And I remember looking at the ceiling when I was talking to Abba, and I remember seeing this demon, I mean, in detail, from its muscles, like, you know, like when you see a bodybuilder, you can see the definition, you can see it. Its body was like a leopard kind of look, and it had a really disorganized face. I've never seen one before, and I'm just really, and the Lord is just telling me to, you know, just look, observe. Yeah, I can feel him telling me, just observe, remember what you see. And he told me specifically, you know, that those demons have jobs, just like, you know, angels have jobs. So, and he was just opening me up to that those things are real. And now with the angel part, he was showing me that they really are around us. When we come to love God and follow him, they are around us, even when we can't see them. So he allowed me one time to see some of the angels that were around me. Excuse me, twice, just so that I can understand that it's just as he said in the scriptures, you know, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, you know, so I was thinking, wow.
Can you describe them?
Mainly he was showing me what they do to people. Even when they're not fully walking with the Lord as Lord Christ wants, he allowed me to see this one angel on my friend. And my friend at that time, he was an alcoholic. He had problems, but he had a big heart. That's the good thing about him. The Lord allowed me to see this angel put his hand over my friend's heart, trying to give him comfort and strength of something that he was going through in his life. So, and then I thought, wow, Lord, that's incredible. They really do more than we think we know, you know? And the Lord brought me to a scripture. He said, don't you remember, Joey, when I said, when I was in the garden, an angel appeared and strengthened me. I said, wow, angels really, that's how, it was amazing.
Yeah, that is actually, I think many people wouldn't think about that point that, you know, that the angels were there for Jesus when he was in the garden, Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes, yes. So after that, you know, it was a very slow, it's a very slow, gradual process of him just cleaning me out, what they call the purification. And yes, it is very painful. Now, being a psychic how I was, being involved in spiritualism and spiritism and being very good at what I did, I had so many demons in me from the information that I got from them and so on and so forth. And also from the partying that I did in my past too. And so the Lord, I was asking the Lord at that time, I said, Lord, I know you're real now. So what do you want me to do? So he would lead me to, you know, prayer and fasting and, you know, and telling people about him. And I would say, Lord, please cross my path with true believers. The ones that when they pray, it's like things will happen. You know, people get healed and delivered. Don't cross my path with the fake ones. I want the true believers because I'm still going through so much. And so from 2009 to give you a mental picture of the years during that time to 2013 and to 2014, he crossed my path, my goodness, with true believers. And when they prayed, I started to get prayed over. I would get delivered. I've manifested and demons have come out of me. And yes, it's not exactly how you see it in Hollywood, in the movies. It's kind of like that, you know, but yes. So I had to go through a lot of that. And then I also got experience being with those brothers, some of those exorcists also. I would watch them and they would show me how they pray and how to pray that way, you know, and how serious that is. And I met other true believers too that had more of the touch of healing. That was more of their thing. And so the Lord would cross my path with these true believers, and I was learning under them how to pray. And I mean, mostly praying for other people. That was the point. And that's that time frame, 2009 to 2014.
So were you finding these people in churches or outside of churches, you know? Did God bring them to you? How did he bring them to you, I guess?
Yes, through YouTube also. You know, I would bump into a video and I would say, Lord, lead me to the right videos, you know, of the true believers that are out there. And I would meet Robert, I would meet just a bunch of people in Texas, some of them in New York, and some of them in churches, and some of them I would bump into at work, some of my coworkers.
That's interesting. So how long were you homeless for, and how did you get out of that situation?
So I was in May 2009, that's when I started being homeless, and then 2014, that's when it completely was over. I had my own place, job, and so on and so forth.
Okay, and have you had more experiences with Jesus?
Absolutely, and that's where he would tell me what to tell people when I share my testimony. Yes.
Okay, so maybe you could tell our listeners what happened, or you know, what the other experiences were and in what context.
Yes, absolutely. The first, and this was beautiful because it was like an early birthday present. This was May 2014. I was already living in the heart of Texas, living near Temple, Texas. Okay. And I remember falling asleep and I had this prayer that came up into my heart, and I said it every single night before I went to bed. I turn off the lights, I get in bed, and I would say this. I would say, Lord Christ, I love you. I invite you yourself and nobody else to come to me. I didn't think he would answer me, you know, that fast. I was saying that prayer for about a few months straight. And I found myself in this place, and I knew I was asleep on my bed, that my body was asleep on my bed, but I knew I was somewhere else. And it was real, like how we're talking right now. And And I was in this playground type area and everything was so beautiful. And I was looking at the sky and it had these beautiful patterns. And yes, there was this beautiful angel right there. And then I started seeing something at the corner of my vision. If we're thinking about direction, you know, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, at about 10 o'clock in my direction in this place, I see this light behind this man. And I'm thinking, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be told something. He's going to tell me, yes, I'm going to get something. You know, it's like my spirit already knew what was going to happen. I just had to pay full attention. And he was about maybe a less than 2 feet away from my face. And I knew right away who it was. And I grabbed his shoulders. I said, Lord, this is incredible. I said, thank you so much. And because I grabbed his shoulders and I was kind of shaking him a little bit, he started laughing. And he put his hands, the Lord put his hands on my arms and he said, Joseph, Joseph. And I want you to remember this. I am the God of second chances. Invite me into your heart to fix your heart. And I was just thinking, wow, yes, he is the God of second chances. And and I said, Lord, you have to be with me. You have to be in front of me in everything. And then he started smiling and he started laughing again. And he said, Joseph, don't worry. I will be. And I started calming down. And then, you know, and then I started to wake up and I'm thinking, no, I don't want to wake up. No, I just want to stay here, you know? And and then he gave me so many confirmations about that because I've never experienced being in another place. Your co-host called it being transferred because it wasn't really a dream. It's not a vision. I knew I was completely somewhere else, but I was with the Lord.
That's interesting. So what else did he have to say?
Yes, he wanted me to tell anyone that I meet that, along with my testimony, that what we have to do as believers is to invite him to fix our heart. The reason being is because we go through so much since we are like a little boy or a little girl, you know, and like we can have something happen to us so far back and it'll be like a ripple effect. Let's say something really bad happened to us, like abuse when we were 1 year old or even a baby. He showed me that if that's not dealt with, if you don't deal with it, if you don't get healing, ask Lord Christ to fix that, it will ripple throughout your life until you deal with it. Yeah, Lord Jesus Christ, I knew for a fact that that was him. And yes.
Okay, so that's really interesting. Now, did you have another experience with him? I think you mentioned that there were three.
Yes, and then he allowed me to have this other experience. They came kind of back to back, and this was in 2016. So September of 2016, let's see, where do I start with that? Wow, yeah. This was also where I knew where I was asleep on my bed, and again I knew I was in a different place. And it was more of a grassy type area, and I was with someone else. Now, in that place, I knew who that was, but in real life, I didn't know. But you know, but the point is, there was another huge angel in front, about I would say maybe 100 yards away. If I were to put a distance on it, and there were these people that were going up. It's as if, But Lord Jesus told me, he told me that what he's doing is taking people up in the spirit to have an encounter with him. He made that very, those are his exact words. Lord Jesus' exact words, what he told me, because he was showing me what he was doing, what this angel's job was, but more importantly, what he's doing. And he told me that he's currently doing that in the U.S. Let me clarify. Okay, so he was showing me in his hand there are thousands of people in the U.S. that he is giving an encounter with him with. And so the only question I asked him, I said, Lord Jesus, you know, is this worldwide? He said specifically in the U.S. And I was just so happy to hear that. I mean, it doesn't matter to me where, but I was thinking, wow, that's so specific. You know, I know that he does it, you know, everywhere, but, I thought that was really special. Now, to go more into, you know, after he was showing me that, he led me to a building part, and where it was just me and him. Okay. And, this was also shortly after he was showing me the number of people. This is countless number of people. And then he allowed me to see a part of him that was very sad. And he allowed me to actually feel a little bit of what that feels like. And of course, my heart was breaking. And I was saying, Lord, why do you feel like this? And so he sat me down and I gave him a big hug because I just couldn't resist. I gave him a big hug and he gave me a hug too. But we kept the embrace and he kept talking to me. And what he was saying is that you know, just his people are having just so much trouble trying to stay focused. And I said, Lord, you are worth waiting for. And then I see him smile, totally different from him being sad, you know. And I thought, wow, I made him smile just by saying, Lord, you are worth waiting for. And he just totally changed. His total expression changed. And later on, when I had time to process this, you know, when I asked Lord Jesus to, you know, he said that's how personal it is. We invite him into everything, into every part of our life. We can be cooking on the stove, you know, and we invite him to be with us even in that. And that's what he was teaching me. Those things make him happy, inviting him into the littlest things.
How did you feel in his presence? You know, what was really going through your mind?
That he allowed me to hug him and embrace him, and he kept the embrace. You know how when you see photographs of two best friends and they have one arm around each other and they're both smiling, like he kept that during the conversation. And it's like he knows exactly the kind of affection and warmth that I need. And he does that. You know, Lord Jesus Christ being such a powerful king, he allows something so personal, such a deep need that I personally had, you know. And I thought that was just so wonderful, you know. And when I tell people about this, Tony, you know, I've met so many believers over the last 10 years and they ask me, I can ask for that? I said, of course you can. You can say, Lord, I want to meet you. Would you show up for me? Would you let me hug you? Would you let me? I said, of course you can ask him for that. Why do you think you can't? Do you think he's so far away? He's right next to your thoughts.
So what's the main message that he would want us to take? You know, what's he sort of saying when you say he's meeting people all over the USA? What's his main message or his main purpose behind it?
Yes, taking people up in the spirit to have an encounter with him. Very many believers have not had a very personal heart-to-heart encounter with him, like sitting with him. I said, so he wants that. And we want it, but we're just, so many people just don't feel that. You know, whatever the reason is, they don't feel worthy to ask him. They don't feel, but what I personally seen is that they don't feel they can ask him because I've asked them. And so he just asks, just ask.
What do you think is happening? Is there a reason why this is, and there's an increase, I take it, in the fact that he is revealing himself to people in this way?
Yes. because he always brings me back to the memories that I've had looking at the church when I was searching for God. Okay, when I was searching if he was real or fake, he was showing me how people act in the church, not just in the building church, the physical building, but also outside, and how we lose our focus in that, that we have to, you know, be like a little child holding his hand, you know, and you can be like for example, at work, this is what I do. Okay. If I have a moment, I run to the closet. What I do for a living, I'm a custodian, I'm a janitor. Okay. I run in the closet and I just say, Lord, thank you. You know, or as I'm mopping this floor, just walk with me. You know, that is the main message of that September 2016 encounter, that people would just invite him into those things. And they could be just, you know, to the normal person, it seems like nothing really important. But the point is, to him it is. That's what he showed me. To him it's important.
And is it transforming, you know, the way you view things?
Absolutely. It makes you, you know, it makes you look at your day more. It makes you look at the minutes that you give to him. It's like you live more in that. You are, I am so much more thankful during my day, Tony, than I ever was. You know, before, you know, I could just let it pass, a few hours pass here, a few hours pass there. But now it's like I look forward to, you know, each hour. I don't let it pass, you know, as if it doesn't mean anything. Because now the Lord is showing us that to him it means a lot. Just that hour, just those minutes we give him.
So what do you think is the most crucial message that you need to get across to people in this? Or, you know, what do you feel that the heart of God is saying he really wants to get out to people at the start of 2018?
Yes, he said to invite him into your heart to fix it. Many times we think that we've arrived in a way, like, you know, we've gotten, okay, I've got being humble down, I've got fasting down. I'm just saying examples, okay? I've gotten prayer down, I've gotten walking with him down, but that's not what Lord Jesus says. He showed me that we don't have it down. That's how we have to be. We have to be just inviting him into all those little things to fix our heart, fix our memories, fix our mind, because there's so much going on in there. That's one of the messages. You know, it's about fixing. He is the only one that's strong enough to do that. Of far above every therapist, every psychiatrist. They're good, yes. But Lord Jesus Christ, because of his power, you know, he can go into those deepest parts of our brain, those memories that need that healing, that our heart that needs that fixing, where it would take a therapist, you know, weeks or months to dig around in our brain. You know, he showed me that to him, once we invite him in to fix us that way, then we can really, you know, we'll be so much happier.
And what about people that think they're too far gone? You know, think, oh, there's no hope, they've done too much, they've blown everything, you know, they're such a mess. What about those people, you know, that think that God wouldn't even want them? What would you say to them?
Absolutely, yes. Now, I want them to know that I have been in those places before, okay? I have been so far gone, you know, being so filled with demons from my past, you know, from what I used to do in the past, and also with drugs and with being homeless. Talk about having absolutely nothing and being in complete desperate situation and being completely depressed. No one cares, you know. And I thought that he didn't care. I thought Abba Father and Lord Jesus didn't care. But that's not true. And all I had to do was keep searching. And that's what I did. So, you know, I tell people all the time, I said, you just have to talk to him. Just if you need him to, if you're not sure that he's real, if you are not, just ask him, Lord, I've heard about you. Lord Jesus, would you come to me? Would you show me that you're real? That's all you have to do. You're not going to lose in asking that question.
Good point. Very good point. And you mentioned, you know, being homeless on and things like that and surviving on the street. So I'm kind of thinking most people now, because they think the 2008, 2009 crisis is behind them, and it's, you know, people start to forget about it. But there's a huge chance that we're going to have a much, much worse one down the track that's coming, you know, and people are not ready for it. And that kind of, I think, is kind of scary in a way, because a lot of people now that have a lot will lose a lot, will lose everything if they're not careful. So I think people should be, you know, sort of physically prepared as much as they can now in advance. But what are your thoughts on that side of things?
Absolutely. Keep our eyes open on the news, what's going on first and foremost. You know, it is so very true to keep our eyes open. Now, what we are seeing, and he also revealed that to me too, is show me certain points. Number one, do not live above your means. He was very clear about that, teaching me that. And that is not easy. You know, it's very difficult, but then again, I ask Abba for that. You know, I ask God for that all the time. You know, it will get easier. Now, how Jesus tells us, we don't over worry. He teaches us don't over worry what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. So we don't over worry. Yes, we do everything in our power. We don't waste our money. We don't live above our means. And we just tell others about him, pray for others, fast, whatever, however you connect, you know, with the Lord. And, but the main thing is not to over worry. As long as you're working hard and doing what you know, you know, to do and sharing your testimony, you'll be fine. Because it's good to prepare, yes. You know, it's good to store away food, all that good stuff, yes. But it's just like with anything, we don't overdo it. Otherwise, we're going to start putting those things in front of our, you know, pushing our faith out of the way, as if God cannot feed us food out of nowhere. You know, he can make food appear in your stomach if you wanted to, you know? I mean, God is that powerful. I mean, we see that. So that's why Lord always talked about stretching out our faith. But yes, it's very easy to, it's a very good point that you brought out, Tony. It's very easy to over worry and store up, and then you lose sight.
I agree, and I was just thinking of something that my co-host Brock Hardwin had said. I remember it's ages ago, talking about how, you know, when we even have just a little put away, that God can multiply it. But the point is to have a generous heart and to actually give as well. If you don't become like the man that stored everything up in the barn, and or these people that sort of hunker themselves and bunker themselves down in a kind of a survival mode, you know, and keep everyone out, keep the world out. It's sort of like if you have something that you can offer to people, then God will multiply it as long as we give and have a generous heart with what we've got. So, yeah, not worrying. So it's kind of a balance, really, isn't it? It's preparing how you can and the best way you can for the tough times that are ahead, but not worrying about it and becoming obsessed to the point where that's your whole focus, and at the same time not becoming so inward focused that you have to hang on to everything that you've got and become miserly and not generous. You know, it's kind of a balance, isn't it, between having that generous spirit and having a trusting spirit, knowing that God can provide even when you've got nothing, but then not being frivolous and throwing away stuff and, you know, on the other hand. So it's kind of balance, I suppose. That's how I see it. What are your thoughts?
Yes, yes. And, you know, and it's and you learn self-control through it all. You know, once again, I'm talking from experience. You learn so many good things from that when you do that. You know, I had one friend that was asking me about, I had one friend and they were having trouble fasting, you know, and I said, look, it's more than what you think it is. You learn you learn self-control eating no food. Okay. And not just when Jesus talked about fasting, when you fast, be happy. Now, when you end the fast, aren't you so thankful to eat?
Yeah.
So you learn to be very thankful. You learn self-control. And not only do you get, into the spirit more, there's just so many things to it. That's why, when I talk to other believers, I always talk about self-denial and fasting. There's a good reason why Jesus taught us that model. There's a reason for it. It's not just that you'll get something out of it, as if you'll get a gift. Yes, you'll get a blessing, but it's more about teaching you how to be that warrior that he's trying to teach you how to be. That you're, when Jesus said, when they were trying to offer him dates, and food, and he said, no, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. And I thought, well, I love that. I love how he said that. He said that so beautifully because it takes your attention off of you.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally agree with that. So, in the last few minutes, because I see time's kind of getting on a fair bit, are there any other messages that you really feel important to get out to our audience that are listening today?
Yes, absolutely. And this is just almost as big as when he first appeared to me in June of 2009. Jesus Christ, he came to me when I was awake. I came home from work. He actually told me very specifically to set my alarm clock at 2:02 a.m. He was very specific, and he allowed me to see his face and hear his voice so loud and so clear. And he wanted me to remember what he's going to show. And it's about when he snatches us up, when he comes and snatches us away, the rapture, whatever name you want to put to it, it's when he takes us. So he was talking about it's more near than what most people think. I know that people have heard that before, but the experience that he allowed me to see was also, again, how sad he is. But what he said, his words during that experience, when he comes to snatch us up, he says, "And the sky will open up, and I will arrive on the scene." And then he said, "My people, I am sad because my people ignore me." I'm going to repeat that. He said, these are his exact words, "I am sad because my people ignore me." He didn't say non-believers. He didn't say atheists. He said, "My people." That's why he's sad. So I asked him, "Lord, why? Why are you sad?" And of course I was moved and I said, "Can I cry with you then?" But he said, "Because of how they act." And I was thinking, oh, great. Yeah, that was breaking my heart. It still does. But yeah, that was the third message.
So he's disappointed in the church, in the way Christians are, I guess. It's kind of a falling away is what I see it. And I think to some degree, many of us, in our own hearts, we may not have fallen away totally, but we've lost some of what we should have. And, and I look around me and some people have lost it entirely, and that's scary. So, if that day comes quickly, whether it's at the end of the tribulation or in the middle or before or whatever, I don't want to get into that. But the fact is we're not ready, many of us, I think, for, what's coming and for his coming.
Absolutely, yes. And he was very specific on that, we just have to be better, just act right. It's a lot of it's in our actions. That's what he keeps showing me. It's just how we're acting, whether if we're telling other people that Jesus is real, whether if we're praying in public, like at the flea market or in the shopping mall. Yeah, it's how we're acting. That especially we should do more of that. Go where the people are. you know, one time my friend said, "So we're going to the mall?" I said, "Yes, we're going to find, we're going to pray for people." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, we are." And I said, "Look, the mall is where the fish are, okay? There's plenty of people in here." And he said, "You got a point." I said, "Yes, Lord Jesus knows exactly what he's talking about. Go where there's fish."
Yeah.
That's how he put it. I love how he put that.
So, yeah, okay. So have you got any final sort of words that you want to get across to our listeners as our time's drawing to a close? Because it's been a pretty powerful message here. Is there anything else that's on your heart that you need to share?
Yes. I first want to thank you and everyone there at A Minute to Midnight. I'm so honored that you've allowed this, because I have gone to so many churches and so many people, they don't want to hear it. I got used to hearing a no, but I would still try to tell my testimony. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear testimonies. They don't want to get inspired. But mainly, it's just a big thank you, because people have to know that Lord Jesus is real. They have to know he's real. Many people, even believers, don't really think he's real. I've met those people too. And the main message is just as I told you, you know, the first one, invite him to fix your heart, you know, and to, you can ask him to show up for you. You can ask him, you know, to be right there with you, sitting on the couch. You know, you can, you know, be close to him. You know, he's not far away. And number three, that don't ignore him. Ask him into the little things, to sum it all up.
So, Joey, it's been really awesome to have you on the A Minute to Midnight show today. And I'm sure our listeners, some of them will want to know how they can get in touch with you. So maybe you could give some contact details or how they can find you.
Absolutely. Yes. And please be patient if I don't get back to you right away. I will get back to you. Yes. My email, Joey, P as in Peter. So it's Peralta, Joey Peralta, 737@gmail.com. And just email me and then we'll move forward from there. Prayer over the phone, whatever you need.
That's awesome. So, yeah, thank you. This has been really very interesting. And, you know, I hope that we'll all take something out of this and, you know, really actually make some use of this message and not just go about our lives and not put it into practice, because I think so often we can do that. You just cruise along and don't really devote that time to, you know, to God and really wanting to get close to him. And I can be just as guilty of that as other people. So I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else. So, yeah. So thank you, Joey.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And we'll chat to you again soon.
All right. Take care. Have a good night.
A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations, and you can find a donation button and donor box or PayPal on our website, aminutetomidnight.com, and also on our YouTube channel. So we really appreciate people that donate to us. You can find all our shows on both YouTube and on our website. And perhaps don't forget to follow our website, which we have an email subscription you can follow on the website. You can also join our forum. We have a community forum on the website as well, and we put articles regularly on our website too. And all the music used in our shows is written, played, and recorded by me, and you can find some free music on aminutetomidnight.com as well. On behalf of our team, Happy New Year, and we look forward to bringing you more shows in 2018. Until the next one, this is Tony signing off.